The Lord be with you. Today is a bit of an emotional day. This is my after-intervention pastoral address. I'm going to try to be brief, but I will admit I probably will go for 20 minutes. The first thing I want to do is I want to honor some people. I want to honor the conference delegates who served us last weekend. Mel Shetler, Max Zook, and Lynn Byler. They tirelessly served us at really no benefit to themselves other than the opportunity to serve the body of Christ. They attempted to be as attentive to what you had to say as possible, but also attempted to hear the voice of Jesus. I want to publicly affirm their actions. I respect their courage, their integrity, their gentleness, and their love. I think some of you may think their actions were heavy-handed, but I believe that their actions helped us potentially avoid 20 years of slow, drawn-out conflict. I think they made the right call. Second group of people I want to honor is the outgoing elder team. We're still on number one. I want to honor the outgoing elder team. They sacrificed quite a bit. They bore the heat of the day and the burden, some of them for almost 20 years. And it would be really wrong of us not to give them thanks, appreciation, and encouragement. Much of the work of an elder is unseen and unappreciated by the church. We would do right to honor Johnny Mills, Bruce Pape, Larry Crossgrove, John Mast, and Joe Bontrager. And the last couple I want to honor is actually Sean and Kayleen. We had a profound, deep friendship and partnership in ministry, and it has caused me intense sadness to lose them. And yet at the same time, I want to say that I respect that they are being faithful to the demands of their conscience, and I want to honor them for that. So that's the first part. I want to honor some people. Second part, I want you to know, number two, that what has happened here affects us all, whether directly or indirectly. The body of Christ is a body, and not in any part of it can be affected without the whole body feeling something. I want to affirm that this is a loss, a significant loss that we are going through together. I'm experiencing it, you're experiencing it. People who don't know what just happened and are coming late to the game, so to speak, are experiencing it. And we're going to be at different stages in how we deal with this thing. I expect most of us will go at some point through, well, Kubler-Ross has these stages of loss. And the first one is denial. The second one is anger. Third one is bargaining. Fourth one is depression. And the final one is acceptance. In denial, you say, hey, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm okay. In anger, you're looking for someone to blame. Please be patient with each other as you hear people blaming. You're going to be at different stages at different time. Be merciful to each other. Give enough space for someone to, in essence, feel differently than you, think differently than you, and be ahead of where you are or behind where you are, or just difference. This is a time to extend a lot of mercy to people wherever they are. It's also a time to examine our own hearts. And I just want to plead with you to bless and not curse from the heart. In fact, I'm going to just plead with you. I'm going to plead with you to bless and not curse. Amen. From the heart. Yes. The third thing I want to do, number three, I want to let you know that I personally am grieving my part in this conflict. And I want you to know that I want to do better in the future. I apologize for the pain that I've caused. Unintentionally, but still caused. I want you to know that I really care about you. I also would like for some of you who maybe I have hurt to take a risk, if it's possible for you, and come talk to me. Let me make it right. I had a conversation with Mike Biggs the other day, and he let me know that 4 years ago when I first came, I said something really dumb and hurt his feelings. And we didn't get that cleared up until this week. When I found out what I'd said, I said, "Mike, I'm so sorry." And he cried a little bit. And I thought, why didn't we get this fixed sooner? I recognize that I can be intimidating. That's one of the things I learned through the Hearing God's Voice class. The Lord told me that one day. He said, "Tim, you realize you're intimidating, right?" And I said, "What? No, Lord, I'm not intimidating. I'm just a dude. I'm a regular dude." And he said, "No, Tim, I made you passionate. I made you a bit of an intellectual. And, well, we'll just say you have a seeming inability to compromise. When you combine passion, intellect, and the seeming inability to compromise, that's intimidating to people." And I said, "Really? I want you to know I'm trying to figure out ways that I can communicate my differing opinions from you that allow you to feel free to think differently from me. I'm not trying to be intimidating." Let me be all honest with you. I find some of you intimidating. And sometimes when I've been scared of you, I've pulled back from relationship. And you've interpreted it as I don't like you. But it's not that. It's that I'm scared of you. I don't want to be rejected by you. I don't want to be disapproved of by you. And so if I don't talk to you, I need to be more brave. I also want to apologize as a leader. I'm sorry that this conflict grew to the place that we felt that our only recourse was to bring in outside help. I'm sorry. We did try, but I must admit that I lacked at times the courage to confront people who I was scared of. And at times, I abdicated my authority to other people in a way that didn't protect you. And I'm sorry for that. And in the end, we as a leadership team were divided and couldn't find traction to deal with some of the issues that we had to deal with. I'm not blaming. I'm accepting my part in this thing. We should have done better. In seeing the results in the church for what has happened, one of the resolutions that has emerged in my heart is that priority one for me from now on has got to be depth of relationship, trust, and unity at the leader level. When we as leaders split, you pay the price. I'm sorry that I didn't do better. You deserve better. Okay, fourth thing. Number four. I want you to know that this is a time for us to humble our needy selves before our gracious, powerful, and wise God. This isn't a time to think how right you are and how wrong someone else is. This is a time for us to own the fact that the Lord Jesus, when he's addressing the churches in the book of Revelation, he addresses them as whole people. He expects that church as a whole to take responsibility for the actions of even a few of their members. This is not a time for you to be looking around the room feeling like you're innocent and other people really messed up. This is a time for us to stand before God together and say, I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. Lord, we're sorry we didn't love enough to confront. We're sorry we didn't love enough to lose. We're sorry we didn't love enough to deal directly in relationship. Lord, we're sorry that we've spoken about our brothers instead of to our brothers. We're sorry that we didn't pray for our brothers, our sisters. We're sorry, God, that we didn't make more efforts at reconciliation. We're sorry, God. Help us. Help us do better. Help us become a people, God, who care and speak the truth in love, who repent like Daniel for sins he didn't even commit. We have sinned, said Daniel. We have sinned. We have sinned. Not they have sinned. We have sinned. Finally, my fifth thing, and then I'll let Bobby come and bring the word. I want you to hope in God. His hand is at work in all this. He's doing something that we might not be able to see right now. We can't always see around the corner to where God's leading us, but he knows exactly what he's doing. He knew exactly what he was doing in Acts chapter 8 when a great persecution came out against the church, something scary and painful that scattered the fellowship that they would have never chosen for themselves, but it served to advance the gospel to peoples who did not yet know Jesus. Who knows what the Lord might have in store for us and for those who have left this fellowship or who are maybe going to leave? Who knows what the Lord might have in store for his kingdom and for his name's sake that we would not have done? Who knows? Take heart. I want to report to you that God is mightily at work among us. One of the things I was so encouraged with, Lynn Byler sat there and cried, saying, God is at work in your people, Tim. I have heard the most astounding, amazing testimonies of transformation. People finding freedom in Christ, marriages being restored, people coming to a level of freedom from shame and closeness with God and freedom from areas of sin they've never experienced before. God is at work in your church. And Max Zook said, I didn't expect to leave here refreshed. He said, I am so refreshed by the testimonies of God's grace at work in your people. God is in here. He is moving among us. The Lord is afoot. And those gentlemen left encouraged and honored to be in the pastoral ministry, excited and energized that they get to serve the glorious bride of Jesus. You deserve to know that this was not all bad, but that God is on the move. This week, my wife has been listening to a musician named Michael Gunger, his Beautiful Things album. And the whole album is based around the idea that God can take the chaos and darkness and emptiness and nothingness that was there before creation. And he can speak a word that brings life and order and thriving. And that he can take dead dirt on the ground and fashion into it someone made in his own image and breathe his breath, and they become living beings bearing the mark, the beautiful, glorious mark of their creator. And the words go something like this. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. And she's been drinking that like an IV drip for her soul, feeling like this is a forest that's been burned out. And now we're just saying, Jesus, will you bring new life back? Will you bring lush green life back? This is what you do. This is who you are. Will you do it among us, God? I want you to hope in God. If we do, we'll have a bright, bright future. But most of all, listen, love each other. Love covers over a multitude of sins. I love you very much. Let's welcome Pastor Bobby with a traditional standard canon welcome.